G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit Podcast. If you're enjoying everything the podcast is about, make sure you head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify for the audio podcast and subscribe there. Or head over to YouTube for the video podcast and give us a sub on YouTube. You can go over to Instagram, Facebook, all social media at Inner City Hermit, and you can keep up to date with everything going on with the podcast over there. Started a bit there, but I'm not going to redo it because I can't be bothered. My guest today, I'm being a little bit biased because he is my mate, but this one's probably one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done, to be completely honest. My guest today is my good mate, Darren Nichols. Now, Desi is, he holds the badge for being the eldest NRL debutant, and man, his story to the NRL and to his debut and just everything he's done leading up to the debut is mental. And like, there's injuries and, you know, multiple contracts and overseas, and it's just wild, to be completely honest. So this one was one of my favorites. So yeah, without me talking for forever and doing a mini podcast in the intro, please welcome my guest, Darren, aka Desi Nichols. Let's go. Alrighty, g'day guys, welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit. This is weird for you to see me do this in person, eh?
This is the experience I want. Yeah. I can see it in your eyes.
Oh mate, I'm fucking passion. I'm hungry, baby, I'm hungry. Hey, guys, yeah, go.
No footsies under the table.
Nah, right? Dude, I'll try not to rub your legs, your very masculine shaven calves.
Cheers.
Guys, I am sitting down today. My guest today is my good friend and absolute legend of a bloke, Darren Nichols, aka Desi Nichols. How are you, bro?
Good, thanks, Hermit, mate. It's glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here, man.
The debut on the Hermit.
I know. We've sort of speculated about this at school, and there's a couple of people who are very keen to hear this at school. But, you know, not talking about school, I sort of got you on because you've had a fucking crazy journey in terms of your rugby league career. Like, I think you've been to France, you've had injuries, you've had a stint at St. George, started training with the Broncos at the start of this. Like, you've been all over the shop, man.
Oh, man, I've got that many kit. Like, if I go in home to my parents' house, there's training shirts from this club and, like, massive club ho.
Yeah, you are a big
club. Oh, but it wasn't, I was more chasing opportunities, not club sluts, so. Yeah,
What's your claim to fame, mate?
I'm the oldest NRL debutant. So I think I was 28 and a few months. Yeah, it was round 18 of the 2018 season. Yeah. So it was probably my 11th or 12th season in reserve grade. So it was a fair apprenticeship. There's look at like you're at uni and you just keep failing subjects, but
you're a mature age student.
finally a lecturer gave me a go. He thought, oh, he's been hanging around, we'll just get him in there. So no, it's we joke about it and that sort of stuff, but it's a weird thing. I'm pretty proud about it. Just shows a bit of persistence and commitment. Man. Don't get me wrong, I would have loved to be the youngest debutant.
Yeah,
would have been a lot better, but I'll take it. It's a weird one, but yeah. You know, I'm very proud about it. So
yeah, definitely, man. What is sort of the, like, you know, you say you're the oldest at 28 and like 28 is still not that old. How old, like compared to the last person that was the oldest debutant, how many years, like, were you like 4 or 5 years older? Or?
Actually, funny story. I might've been 29. I don't know. It's all a bit of a blur. It's a couple of concussions in between, but,
CTE.
Yeah. actually one of my good mates, Aloni Vunakethe, you might've seen him on, he done a bit of work on the Ninja, where he's the rugby league garbo.
Yeah.
Shredded, like, just, you look at him, he's half Fijian, like, half Aussie.
He's
like
a big boy.
Like, sometimes just my eyes just, you know, war, like, he's just that hot, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
And that's okay, though. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good-looking blokes out there, mate. It's not gay.
So he got a gig at the Roosters, and then I was bouncing around clubs still full-time, and then... Yeah, sort of knocked off his title. So it's me and him, two Holy Cross.
Oh, really?
Boys.
And your mates?
Yeah, he played with my brother all through juniors, and then we became mates playing through opens at school. And then, we're still good mates this day. And he's a good dude. And Yeah, so it's me, oldest, him, second
oldest. It's kind of cool how you can knock your mate off that mantle,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah. Like, I've only now I can knock some of his abs off him and just have that physique.
So, like, the thing about with debuting so old, like, not so old, but you know what I mean.
Mm.
You know, when like, the youngie, like when Tessie debuted, like, he's only, like, 19. Mm. So, you know, you wouldn't expect him to sort of lead in that sort of situation. With you being 28,
yeah,
you kind of, even though you're just debuting, you still got a bit of merit behind your name, you know what I mean? So, what's that like? Can you sort of, when you get on the field as a debutant, but you've still got the age and the experience behind it. How do the other players sort of view you in that sort of situation?
Yeah, it was sort of my role as a halfback, and like when I bounced around clubs, I was always a leader and a directional player and an organizer and get the players around the park. And, you know, before my injury, I was very vocal, you know, you'd hear me and, you know, from here to Bowen Hills and, you know. But so when I came in, when I debuted, like there was still some very good old heads around me, like James Graham was playing, Cam McInnes, Gareth Widdop. So I was still there to organise and play my role and sort of let the other players do the fancy stuff. I was never sort of a fancy player. So I was able to come in confident and be able to get people around the park because it's what I'd done for ages. You know, you get here, we'll roll to this place to a spot, then we're going to kick. So yeah, it was, I think for me being like having dreamt about it since I was six and then, you know, I was nearly 30, it's like I was super nervous, you know what I mean? Yeah. I found out it was weird because my birthday in 2018.
Stop tapping the table.
Oh, sorry, man. That's just
waiting for you to sorry, do it.
That's just me, like on the field, like I'm like, get here, you go here.
I knew you'd
come
be that sort of one. Yeah,
hands behind the back. So yeah, it was my birthday 2018. It was my first season at the Dragons. Had a decent preseason, and I've come into a tackle. This bloke spun and he hit me right in the throat.
Yeah.
Anyway, like straight away, like I'm out of breath. Like I'm thinking, oh shit, this is bad. Like I'm like that, those ones. And then doctors come out. I'm like, he's like, can you breathe? I'm like, yeah, just only through my nose. Like my mouth was just like swollen already. And I was like, shit, this is bad. Come off at halftime. And I'm like, doc, what's the go? And he's like, the light down the throat. He's like, whoa, pretty swollen. And you know, I can see this. And like, I'm still struggling to breathe and I'm stressed. And he's like, look, Desi, you know, you're going to be all right. He goes, you may never really talk again, but you're good to go in the second half.
Fuck.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, shit.
That's a weird injury, hey? Yeah. Because it doesn't really impact you physically. Like, as in, it, like, hurts, but your body's, it's not like an ACL or an elbow or a shoulder.
So I could play, but I obviously couldn't compete at the, like, aerobic capacity because I was only breathing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I've gone up in my head. I was rattled, like head noise 1000.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, all right, well, I can play the second half, but may never really talk again. And that was a strong point of my game. Like I was a talker. I was, you know, organizer. So I come out the second half and we managed to win and then finished the game. My oldies are there and we've gone to the pub and I sort of needed the cold drinks because it was really swollen in my throat. And I'm sounded like, you know, 1,000 pack of durry a day smoker, heavy drinker, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then the next day I've gone like to, you know, emergency, see the doctors and stuff like that and give me all like these strong drugs to reduce swelling and stuff like that. Still no good. And then like 2 weeks later, I'm starting to, it's getting a little bit better, like just playing Chinese whispers the whole time. Yeah. Wasn't allowed to like do any fitness and stuff like that because I just wasn't getting enough oxygen in. And then came back, would have been maybe 5 or 6 weeks off. And they put me out for a fitness session. I'm doing this MAS stuff and box runs. And like, I just couldn't cope. And like, I was just sort of sitting in the trainer like, mate, I'm going to collapse here. Yeah. Like I was,
and it was like, it was more just the breath thing. It wasn't a physical thing.
Yeah, my heart was like normally. It wasn't even that hard of a session. So we're like, oh, we better stop. Then like went back to check and the... The specialist was like, oh, no, you can't do this yet. And end up, we went in for day surgery and they were trying to manipulate the vocal cords because the vocal cords move like this, but one of them was dislocated. So when they go like that and then the air goes through, it makes like a lovely... I wish you would have heard my voice before, mate. It used to go well with the ladies, but at the time I had a missus, so yeah. It was,
yeah, a bit weathered.
Yeah. And then they did that and, geez, I came out of that surge. It felt like someone had done nasty things down my throat. It was like, oh, it was bad. So I was on ice blocks on that for a couple of days. And then finally got the all clear to come back. played one game of reserve grade, and then the first grade coach, Mary, came to me and said, we've got a game in 2 weeks when the origin period is going to go and you're going to play. So I've had the whole, pretty much the whole season. I've done a preseason, played maybe one or two games, got injured, was out for 7 or 8 weeks, played one game. Then it was like, you're not going to play next week in reserve grade because the first grade of the bye, you're going to play the following. So I had about 2 weeks off until the next game. So it was like nowhere near your dream, like the preparation.
Man, I was like, going to say, fuck.
But there was no way I was knocking back playing, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's like, he told me to play. So I had like so much time to think about it. It was good. My family was able to organize, get down to Melbourne. It was a good trip. My older brother was funny, but he'd been on the drinks, or both of them been on the beers all day, right? So like by the time, like they went down to Melbourne early, and I don't know where they started, but the game finished, and then we'll have a few more drinks at the casino, and my older brother's there, and drinking, and we ran into Cam McInnes and James Graham. They're at this bar just outside the casino. My brother's there, and Cam McInnes is missing a tooth, and he goes, oh, geez, Cam. Cam's got this real, like, strong chin, like, you know. Brother's like, oh, I'd love to put one in your chin, like, you know. I'm thinking, what the hell? Like, just lost me debut. My brother's going to get knocked out here. But it was a super funny night. Great weekend, great experience, and then didn't play all that next year. And then, the coach gave me an opportunity to play two games the following year. And just going into those games, I just felt so much more comfortable. Like, I had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Like, going in the first game, I was like, oh, man, like, I'm going to stuff up and, you know, just mindset stuff. Yeah. Thought I was ready, but I really wasn't. And then the next few games, I probably performed a bit better just because I had nothing to lose and comfortable and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was about, like, before that point. And that was – St. George was actually my first two-year contract that I had. I'd bounced around, like, won't touch the table, but – One club. Like, just like, you know, as I said, chasing opportunities. But to finally get the gig at the Dragons was, dream come true. Now I'm a Dragons fan.
Like, yeah, 100%, that's how much it means to me. Like, that's sick. And it's like you said, the mentality of I've got nothing to lose. Like, there's something so valuable in that mentality, especially as, like, you know, I know a lot of, like, UFC fighters, they get to that age where it's like, I've got nothing to lose, man. I'm either going to die in that ring or I'm going to win. And I think that mentality is actually a strong mentality to sort of get. It's almost like really freeing.
Yeah, like coming through, like, oh, I wasn't a star or anything, but I was decent enough, like, came through. And it's called Colts up in Queensland, but I was playing for the Tigers. It was the Toyota Cup back then, and missed out on round one for the under 20s comedy. It was the big thing, like, you know, Toyota Cup, and it was on TV. And so all their best juniors, if you were like 17, 18, 19 or 20, you played in Toyota Cup. But I missed out on round one, and I've actually played reserve grade, the New South Wales Cup. So it was like me, this little kid, weak as, playing reserve grade against men, like, it's got battered. Like, I remember kicking down, first kick of the game, like, keen as, and I've just kicked long, and the winger, I think it might have been Akila Uwate playing back there, I'm not too sure. And it, like, I thought, like, you know, he could grab the ball and he'd sort of run around. I could maybe do a leg tackle.
Yeah.
He's just made a beeline straight for me. I thought, I'm in this kick chase by myself. I've just gone tackle. He's ran straight over me. Couldn't feel my shoulder for the rest of the game. But, it just shows you, like, my thing was, oh, I'm in reserve grade or I'm playing Toyota Cup. You know, first grade's not going to be that far off. Yeah. Spent those 2 years at the Tigers. 1 year after at reserve grade, didn't have an opportunity to go full-time. There was some part-time stuff, maybe to union. And then my manager at the time was like, oh, there's a gig over in France and you're playing the English comp. And I was just like, you know what? Why not? Like, and I was this, like, halfback with, like, you know, a couple of rolls of fat, like, nutrition. It was crazy. My mind at the time was like, train hard, doesn't really matter what you eat.
Yeah.
Like, I was having, you know, the old rum and cokes and, you know, pizza all the time, KFC on the way home from training and stuff like that.
Dude, and it's so, as like a young bloke too, when you just like, well, like your metabolism's so quick, like you don't feel it, but I know, it's like,
I was like, train hard, doesn't matter what you eat, you know, I'm still doing fitness 3 times a week. And then I got over to France and I played at Toulouse, like, time of my life, like, so many good dudes I met over there at Toulouse. That was the first year. So this is when my club hopping started to commence. So I went Toulouse for 1 year. We played in the English comp, like, and that was loads of fun. We get to do 1 week in England, 1 week in France. We just bounced.
Sick.
So it was just like, we're off to clubs in Liverpool, Manchester. Like,
big crowds over there. Hey, like,
there was a decent crowd. I remember one game, my parents came over and we were playing Featherstone. We got knocked off 90-10. And I scored 2 tries that day, kicked 1 goal. I remember racing around.
Wait, 92 tries, so you scored the
I scored the only points, right? And we got absolutely dusted. No, it was the biggest loss I ever had. It was at Featherstone. Like, it's the arsenal of England. Sorry to people that are from Featherstone. I've come around to score, and there's just people, I won't say it, like, abusing me. Nichols, back to, F off, back to Australia.
You don't have to. You can say
fuck. Oh, fuck off, back to Australia. You fucking convict. Test you, baby. Like, yeah, your mum's there. And I'm just like, put the ball down. I'm like, man, like, these fans are ruthless. Like, dude, can you imagine Australia, like, the fans saying that, like, your team's up, like, for example, no one's going to win 90-10 now in the NRL, but it's like 50-10, someone's like abusing someone. Oh, my parents were there, and like, old man's fired up, and then after the game, but they were cool. They're like, look, you just got to keep your head up. You still scored 2 tries. You had a crack. I was like, oh man, these Pommy fans are ruthless.
Bro, it's the same, because you're dealing with the same sort of dudes that watch the EPL, man, and they don't give a fuck about what they say to you. Like, they don't care if you're black, white, gay, straight, Asian. They don't give a fuck, man. They will shred you for anything, man.
Funny is that the Frenchies, when they used to get over to England, like, we go out to the clubs, and like, they're like, oh, baby, you want a French kiss? Like, and these Pommy guys would be like, no.
So
when, like, we'd have off you Aussie boys, and they'd be like, you guys are Australian. We'd be like, on, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. When you played in France, were there a lot of, was it sort of like a dynamic of they were all French players, or was it a lot of call-ins from a whole bunch of different areas?
Yeah, there was probably 90% Frenchies, and then we maybe had 5 in the team, but, you know, the injuries. So sometimes it might be you and 2 other Aussies who are sort of, need to be this sort of standout sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd met the Aussie blokes that I play with over there, still mates with. And then from Toulouse that year, after that, I bounced to Avignon, which is also south of France, beautiful places. I think it's the only place where the Popes lived outside of Rome. Fun fact.
Yeah, that is fun.
Great wine, good
you
people.
You do. You love your wine. Oh, now,
I love
mate.
A good red. Fucking Before hell. I went over there, I never drank coffee and I never drank wine. Now I love the 2.
Yeah.
So, you just sort of have a crack at some things. And when I was in Toulouse, I was like, we did some French lessons, but it was like, take the piss, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because the coach actually spoke English. So I was like,
there's no point.
Like, speaking in French, and he's like, boys, you need to go to the post to run this play. And we were like, sweet. Then when I got to Avignon, the coach was like, I'm going to speak these sessions in French. I was like, oh, shit. So we actually started to learn that we'd go over like, Thursday night, we'd head into town, like, either have a coffee or, like, you know, some rosé with the boys, and, like, they'd just...
Rosé with the boys?
Rosé
with the boys?
Yeah. So, like, we'd do that, and they'd help us out, like, a good crew at Avignon, like... So, my French actually started to get a bit better, like, and then, you know, after games, I'd be, you know, a couple of wines deep and some beers and, you know, throwing a bit of French chat at the birds. With a little bit of success.
A little bit.
I won't go into the details there, but strike weight was not bad. Probably better than my kicking, goal kicking average. But then that French comp, like, it's a whole different kettle of fish. First kick of that game, we're playing Carcassonne at home. And the Avignon pitch was an AstroTurf pitch, so...
Why do they do that for rugby games, man? I don't understand.
If you've got a graze, it's there all year.
I played in Baleen in the Nike Cup, and, man, I went in for it because, like, I'm notorious for slide tackling. And, mate, I went in and just carved my leg the fuck up. I could only imagine what the fuck you guys go through. Oh,
man, like, that's why I would sometimes play in the dinner suit and just pass,
yeah,
and then
take
off. So, kick this ball down. It was a bit of a rivalry game against Carcassonne. Tackled this bloke, got up on top of him, just giving him a little bit of a facial massage. He's got up, he's gone, spat in my face.
Fuck.
And, like, for a second I was a bit rattled, and I just grabbed him, and just on, like, just punching on.
What's their view on, like, fights? They don't give a fuck?
Bro, I wish I could show you the photo. I got one on my Facebook. Like, from that year, the Colts game was on. This bloke's ran in with a flying kick.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's like proper, like, Bruce Lee, like, people just throwing kicks. So, like, first game in, this bloke spat on me, there's a fight, benches on, like, ran on from this field. I'm like, all right, this is going to be a bit different this year.
Yeah, it's like prison rules.
Yeah. So, then from Avignon, that's when there was a guy in Avignon, Kieran Wally, he was a front rower, but, like, not a front rower that I'd seen before, like, abs, like, took nutrition serious. He's like, I'm going to have this much protein now. This is how much carbs I'm going to have today. I'm not going to have that. It's got sugar in it. So I was like, oh, he's taking supplements like fish oils, magnesium. like, well, if a front rower is going to do this, maybe I should. So I just started to pick his brain on like nutrition. And mind you, like, I can't remember the time if I'd done the nutrition course at uni.
Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't really pay attention, but I really took to like how nutrition can be important for an athlete,
yeah,
and what was maybe holding me back. So I came back from France and like my rig had like improved. Like,
can we talk about the balcony photo?
About that, that was, we'll get to that. That's 2015. So that was peak. That was peak rig then. So,
peak rig.
Yeah. So I've come back and I've gone, so finished the 2012 season and I've come back sort of back end of that year to play at Mounties in the New South Wales Cup. Finished the M, I was still okay, like in New South Wales Cup, yeah. I wasn't a standout. 2013, I moved over to North Sydney. Had a really good year, great team around me. I started to play a bit better footy, captained that side. So that was the first time I captained reserve grade there. And then the next year was 2014. I was like, oh man, like I didn't get a full-time contract. You know, I think I was, it might've been, so I was 24 at the time then. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know. So I've gone, all right, I'm going to finish off this teaching degree. I started it in 2007 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
holy
bro.
Holy shit.
Like,
that is the longest,
yeah,
deferred thing.
My first prac was on a blackboard. I was like,
for real?
Yeah. Oh, there was a couple of blackboards in the school.
Yeah,
might
yeah.
Up a bit,
not like we got now.
Nah. Fucking completely hell. Different. And then my parents were like, yeah, you should probably finish that degree, get that going. And so I'm like, all right, how can I do this? So I got in contact with another New South Wales Cup club, Wyong, and they were great. They were like, put you in this school, spoke to the uni, and they were like, all right, you can do a whole term prac. So I was training with the club, like they were really helping me out, put me up in a place at this school, had a really great prac teacher. So when it might have been, did all of term one at the school, so I was able to develop the relationship with the kids, like, great, like, yeah, pretty decent school on the Central Coast, like, good kids and stuff like that. Was playing really good footy, and like I was saying, like, nothing to lose at Wyong. Like, I was really trying my hand, playing, like, you know, just good footy, like, backing myself, backing my kicks, running game. Just, and that team was sort of mine, and another good footy player, Mitch Williams, is really unlucky not to play NRL. He, that was our team, and we ran that side, and we started the year really good. We were a club at the time, they didn't have any NRL supporters, so it was just, we were just reserve graders, yeah. And other clubs generally have, they drip a few players that are top score players back down.
Yeah.
So I got around to, it would have been just past my birthday, and then the Broncos got in contract, and I was contact and met with them. My best mate was doing my managing at the time, and lives in America now. He's like, Desi, man, you're going to meet with the Broncos. Like,
was that when Wayne Bennett was coach?
No, this was Anthony Griffin was coach at the time. So this was midway 2014, and I met with this guy in Sydney, Top Road Shopping Centre, cafe. Mate wasn't a manager, registered manager, so I had to go to the library to get the JP to sign it. Like, it's super cool. I remember, like, wow, like, this is my first NRL contract. Wyong were good. Released me, went up to the Broncos mid-season, and then, like, to transition from, like, I was just so off the pace in terms of, like, fitness,
yeah,
strength, wrestle techniques. So I've come in there 2014, and it was around Origin time that year, and, like, the Hooks called me up into the office, and he's like, mate, you know, you're a chance of playing if, you know, Honey plays first grade. So I was thinking, oh, how good is this? It's come, like, I've been training for a little bit, and, like, I'm going to play. But anyway, like, he didn't end up playing Origin, and, yeah, spent that year, and then Wayne Bennett came in 2015, and, yeah, so they re-signed me for 2015, and we did this army camp that preseason, and like I battled through that, like, not a strong dude, mentally strong, physically not the best,
yeah,
sort of all for show, got the arms, but that's about it. So we've got, done this,
got the rig but no work.
We've done this army camp, and oh man, it was some of the worst days ever. Just carrying people, carrying heaps of different shit, like mind game stuff, like how to solve problems under fatigue, and you got a notepad and you're writing down who's the strongest, who's the weakest, who's letting you down, and we didn't get to eat for like a couple of days.
That's a confronting exercise.
Oh, and we're like that tired, and like it's 2 days in, and Wayne will tap you on the shoulder and like, Desi, mate, you're going well. I'll give you like a little Allen's lolly snake, and you're like, thanks, Wayne.
So weird.
The next day it's like, you're doing well. Give you like a Mars bar, and you're like,
fuck.
I remember having, like, we trained like all day, all night. And
it's like buds.
Yeah, and we're like dinner's served, boys. Everyone like sort of gets down there. They're like, you got to share a can of a tin can of spaghetti each. And tin spaghetti had never tasted so good. I was like, but we did some funny exercise today. Like they had us, you know, the big Gatorade tubs, and like we were splitting the teams about six or seven, and they're like, all right, guys, you've got to dig the ground with your spoons and bury this Gatorade tub. And we're like, oh, fucking, you're there. And I'm like, we're digging with these spoons, getting nowhere. It's taking hours. So we've grabbed like the pitchforks from our swag, and we're trying to dig, and then you're digging with your hands, and like the last team to dig it is doing this, and oh my God. So we finally, we dug these holes, like everyone's like, dirty as, it's 2 a.m. in the morning, like digging these Gatorade tubs, and it's just all the mess with here, and like the midnight.
It's all like mental calluses.
Yeah, yeah, bang, 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 you're under attack, everyone up, and it's like, get ready for attack. You can tell it's just someone playing it off of bloody UA boom.
Boy, how good would it be to be one of the army dudes that gets to fuck with the Broncos?
Oh, man.
Could you imagine that? Just making like someone like as big as Dave Fafita shit his pants.
But there's exercise. It was sort of like a footy field space, right? And they go, everyone up, get down to the field, get to your positions on the field. And this army sergeant's come around. So like, if you know, your centers are standing on the sideline and your front rowers are at the back ready to take kickoff, and I'm there ready to catch it. I'm next to Anthony Milford. The sergeant come around and he goes, all right, who's fucking position's this? And I go, mate, it's his position. I'm on about a fucking tenth of what he's on. He goes, well, get off the field, you fucking coward. So, man, I was like, all right. And I was like, man, I was just answering the question. Honestly, it was legit his position. Like, there's no way I'm starting in front of Anthony Milford. So there I was off to the sideline. You got to do penalties on the sideline. But, those sort of stuff, like, they're good for teams, but I just, didn't want to do that again.
Yeah, no, man, it's hectic, like, doing those, like, and because the thing about it, too, is, like, you can't whinge because you're on money. You're I'm getting paid to be here, so I can't whinge.
Yeah.
And, like, I could imagine they just try and break you.
Yeah.
Like, they just want to see who's the weakest.
Oh, there was, like, one of the army dudes, like, Jack, he thought Jack Reed called him something. I can't remember the word. It was some word that no one ever says. And he's like, did you call me dweeb or I can't remember what it was, but, and Reedy's like, no, I would never say that. Like, he's like, you guys have got extras to, you own up that you called me this. That's disrespect. So we're doing push-ups and burpees and all this exercises, and like, everyone's fucked and everyone knows. And so Reedy had to go to Wayne and go, Wayne, like, have you ever heard me say this word? Like, I think there's something wrong with this guy.
Like, he's like, school.
Yeah, he's like, is he just testing us? Like, to say, is this, does he think? And then later, like, the one of the other ones is like, oh, nah, he's just gone through some stuff. He must have been just hearing things.
Fucking hell. That's so good, having a deranged army sergeant fucking training.
I was like, oh, man, get me out of here. Finish that army camp.
Yeah.
And, like, we get onto the bus and everyone's, like, so happy that we're done. Then there's essays of, like, beers, like, bottles of Coke, chocolates. Everyone's having, like, we've just been malnourished.
Yeah,
man. I'm like, chocolate, chips, beers, stop at Yatla Pies. Like, we get back to the Bronx headquarters. I'm feeling so sick. I've just eaten all this shit food after having nothing. But, that was another one that crazy. And then 2015, I was halfway through the season. I was at North Devils. I was going all right, playing all right. And then Adam Reynolds got injured at the Bunnies and, like, got a call from the Bunnies. And they're like, we want you to come now. There's an opportunity to play in the halves now. And fuck. I was like, oh, fuck. So it went to Wayne. Wayne was really good. He's like, mate, if you want to leave, that's up to you. We love you here. You're great for, you know, club culture, and everyone loves you around. Because if something hasn't happened, we'd love to have you back, sort of thing. So I went down to South and played a couple of games, and then might have played one game, and then they picked me in the New South Wales Residence, and we played against Queensland and played okay that game. Defense was really shit. Like, had a few ineffective tackles, might have missed a few. Came back, Michael Guy's like, Desi, mate, your defense isn't up to it. So, like, Wednesdays was a day off, and I got put into this wrestle group on Wednesdays. Like, and we're, like, at the jiu-jitsu gym, and, like, I hate wrestling as it is. I'm getting ragdolled, like, having to tackle all these big units that are, like, the Bunnies. Like, that's their extra day. Like, normally just be extras, you come in, do kicking. And, but I'm there in this jiu-jitsu gym rolling around, sweaty, ragdolled headlocks. And
fuck.
So I did that, and yeah, just probably at that time, I might not have been up to it. Like, my defense wasn't up to it, so that's fair enough. And then, but finished the year really good in reserve grade. Actually, at the time, Cody Walker came back. We got through some stuff, and then we and him finished the year in reserve grade, and we just complimented each other well. Like, I would just set it up, and he would just do his magic. You know what I mean? Yeah. The bloke can play, so that was really good. He made me look really good, so finished that year, and I'd signed for 2015 and 16 at South. When I come to him, I said, "Oh, guys, you mind release me?" They would be happy about it. Like, yeah, you know, I'd fallen below Cody in the depth chart. So, Wayne and Pete Nolan were happy to have me up at Brisbane. So I was cheering. So I'd move back up to Brizzy again. They put me with Redcliffe this time and played. Oh, so, 2015, I played the Auckland Nines, and that was like, that meant the world to me to play in the Nines competition.
It's a fun comp too.
Oh, man.
Like, it's
probably not
comp.
My go, because I'm not the fastest, but that's probably what's let me down in footy, not being that sort of top speed athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
And then come back up, played Auckland Nines again, super fit at the time. That was actually after the balcony photo. Yeah, that was...
The said balcony photo.
I'd spent 300 days off the piss, and I was just eating really well. Like, I was chicken breast.
Chiseled.
Like, I'm only having sweet potato for carbs. I'm having broccoli for breakfast. Like, just chiseled up, right lighting on the balcony. Had the shades on. Just tense up. Nearly did a couple of hernias.
Yeah, almost blew up.
But
a foot for valve.
That picture was very successful.
That I could imagine, mate.
Yeah, the strike rate was good. And then
I tried to recreate it. I just didn't have the same sort of look, man. It just sort of looked a little... I didn't have a chest. And
I think your problem might be these, man. I don't know if you can do 300 days off them.
Yeah, look, I don't think I could, man. I'm very honest about it. I think that's literally everyone asked me, like, oh, why are you vegan? Is it because of animals? I was like, yeah. But also, it means I can drink more beers and not put any weight on, which is fucking sick.
Yeah. It's crazy. But why I started that time off the piss, I wear this blue bracelet, and that's my best mate got murdered in 2014.
Holy
in August,
shit, man.
So,
is that the guy? I remember you telling me this story.
So, I'd said to him, like, if I'd ever, got full time, like, I'd really have a crack. And, like, so I was like, all right, I'm going to make a commitment here.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I make a commitment and stuff like that, I was like, I'm going to do 300 days off the piss. Helped my footy, you know, was able to change my body shape and stuff like that.
It's amazing how just taking away one thing, that one thing.
Dude, like, and at the time as well, like, I was, you know, I could have went down the way of like, all right, my mate's died, I'm going to drink. And, you know, from drinking goes to drugs. But I was like, no, I'm going to stay off the piss. Like, because, like, I didn't have much support network up in Brisbane. Like, I'd moved up there and, like, I was sort of by myself. And then later on, I moved in with a good mate, Steve Rooney, and we were living at Bowen Hills. Actually, that was a really good spot. That's where the photo was taken.
Did he take it for you?
I think he might have. I was like, yeah, shout out Runes, great photo, great skills. Might have even actually been his missus might have taken
that.
It
looks like the angle that it's on looks like it's had female.
Yeah,
like,
it might have been
a
group.
Female approach.
They were
like,
is this good? And I was like, oh,
because usually when guys take photos of each other, they're fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Like when Kia takes photos of me, man, they're fucking.
Yeah.
And polish his turd face right off.
You know that. There's been actually a bit of chat. You've been on Photoshop recently with a couple of your photos.
Mate, I have. Mate, my stories. Oh, my stories are all fucking filters, man.
Make sure you filter me out, baby.
Mate, have you seen my blue eyes in those filters?
Oh, yes. Woo! Sparkly.
Baby.
Make
man.
The knees go weak.
Oh, dude. Yeah, but like, and you know, so I always keep a hat on because my forehead's too big. All the fucking time, bro. I never take
proper
a story.
Shade.
It's literally like 11:30 at night. I'm taking a story. I got a hat on inside.
Is this guy okay?
Man, I fucking feel like an idiot, eh? Shit, so like with the bracelet and stuff, is there like an organization that was kind of built around that?
Nah, it was
just like a thing.
Yeah, his missus and a couple of friends. And it was fucked up, man. Like,
yeah, man, I can imagine.
Yeah, he had two kids and like it was sort of... He was the best man, but he was sort of like, you know, an older brother to me because he was more mature than me and stuff like that. But
Did he play footy?
He did. He played footy, but he just sort of didn't go on. And then
did it sort of give you like a drive that you're
like, oh man,
I want to do this for him now.
Man, so many conditioning sessions and like army camps and stuff like that when I wanted to quit. And I was like, fuck man, like, you know, I'm still living, breathing, you know what I mean? Why should I give up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, that's fine.
So yeah, like, oh man, so many times I'd be like, ready to go on like a 200s or, you know, 100 meter sprints and fitness and just like look down. I'm like, keep going.
Yeah.
So that was, so then, yeah, at Ready 2016, playing good footy, but just didn't get opportunity. There was no one in the halves, just didn't get injured.
Yeah.
I was 18th man a couple of times. There was a couple of injury scares where I might have got to play and trained up until the last captain's run. Then MILF was sweet to play, so I was like, all right, you're not playing. Then, yeah, I thought maybe this might be the end. I might, you know, start teaching. I really just had to get my rego done, you know what I mean? The teacher mate was helping me out, and then Panthers, Anthony Griffin, who first had me at the Broncos, he was at Panthers and called me up. He's like, Desi, there's an opportunity in the top squad. We need someone. We've got a really good bunch of youngsters like that are coming through. Like, they just need a bit of guidance, get them around the park, teach them how to be professional, really run that reserve grade team. And if something happens, you get a opportunity. I was like, Panthers it is, another club, baby. Let's go.
That's
so out to the riff. Cold mornings, hot days, really. We trained super hard. So played in the Orca Nines again with the Panthers. So that was a thrill. We got to the grand final against the Roosters. We scored like near the bell. I had the drop kick to win it. Or draw maybe. Missed it. Choke. But yeah, good times. That was a good trip. And then that year at Penrith, I had some ups and downs that year and was playing good, playing okay. And I'd sort of maybe towards that year when I, like a few other people got a gig in front of me, I was, you know, starting to get on the beers a bit more and stuff like that. But then I really sort of sharpened up towards the back end of the year. I was like, oh, I'll give it another crack. I was 28. And then I was like, oh, let's knuckle down. And we had a really good side, like Viliami Kikau, you know, Jerome Lawai, Sione Katoa, Corey Waddell, like just heaps of guys.
Yeah.
So many more like that are just genuine NRL players now.
Yeah.
And I was just there just pretty much, you know, just getting the orchestra around the field.
Yeah, it's funny that like you have those caliber of players and you were kind of the one like...
Yeah, they just were just weren't ready for first grade yet. But like towards the end of that year, Viliami Kikau was a different beast, man. Yeah. Like
he's the one that plays for the Roosters?
No, he's the one that's at Panthers.
Okay.
He's got the Odell Beckham haircut now. So
he's huge, man. Against the Knights last week.
He
was on fire, man. Ah, he was on fire. Because
he's a beast, man.
Yeah, because he sticks out like dog's balls now with that haircut, bro.
He's like 7'3".
Yeah, man, he's giant.
And so we finished that year. We won the New South Wales Cup. Then we played in the national final. So the winner of New South Wales Cup plays Queensland Cup. And the PNG team won that game. And then we played them and we dusted them, bro.
Yeah.
It was that so the game before the NRL Grand Final. And we just absolutely just give them an absolute bath, you know what I mean? So then from there, I met with the Dragons called me up and they're like, same thing. We've got some youngsters. Mm. Can you get them around? Blah, blah, blah. I met with them, met with Sharks. And came back, Dragons like a 1-year deal, and then came back, they're like, all right, 2-year deal. I was like, 2-year deal, I'm 20, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
29, I'll be turning 29 in 2018, 30, and they're going to give me a 2-year deal. I haven't played first grade yet.
Yeah, why the fuck I'm not, in. Man?
So then I was off to the Gong, great crew of blokes there. Yeah, and then, yeah, I think it was, I can't remember what round, but it was July. There's a 29-year-old played NRL, so just bounced around. And what I really like, I'm thankful for, is it how many different coaches like I got to like experience and like they brought this in my game. Like, that's their expertise. Like Wayne's such a people person. Like he was able to, you know,
which I find so funny because he never talks.
Nah, but he's like, super caring, man.
I've heard
super
that from caring. So many people.
Yeah. Then other coaches teach you discipline, or they might teach you some attacking structure. I just feel like I was able...
A sponge.
Yeah, they were just able to get me there, and I just, finally got me there. And, and I've been able to meet so many good people in rugby league. Like,
I was just going to say that the people that you've played with, holy fuck, man. Like, you've played with so many players that are, like, at, like, a huge level now. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. And even, like, the fact that you were asked to come in to, like, take care of the young ones, like, it's... I wonder how many players, like, you know, because I noticed that one big thing that I could probably take out of the Broncos game the other night is how valuable having an older player that knows his way around, whether they've played heaps of NRL games or just heaps of games in general, how important that is, because some players just look lost, eh?
Yeah, steady the ship, eh?
Yeah, that's it, man. That's fucking wild, man. I didn't realize that the injury was so... It was only recent, man.
Yeah. It was my birthday when I was, turning 20, 29. Shit. 29th birthday, and I was like... Like I said, my game, like I was vocal as, like, and now
you have to be as an older player. Yeah. So I, like, you know, ordering people around.
Yeah. So then that drove me in to use more like hand gestures, and I was pushing and pulling players and stuff like that. But I got to a stage and I was like, well, I'm at the back end of my career. Like I realized like after this Dragons deal, like there might be some clubs interested in me, but like I still hadn't started teaching yet. It's like, I'm not going to earn massive money.
Like, it's like, what's the longevity in a contract after 30? Like, is it going to be 1 year, 2 years? Like, are you even going to, is there an injury on the cards? Yeah. Because like, you know, 30, that's when the injuries start popping up, man.
And
So when you like got in that tackle and got injured, and what was sort of the process behind you like recovering? What was what? Because like a throat injury.
Yeah.
Like, I was, how the fuck do you?
Just seeing like the specialist doing like some vocal exercises, and like they had me just taking. I think at the time it was, Promaz or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just a real just to reduce the swelling and like trying to regenerate, like get him working again, and then the surgery is just trying to hope that they would like by manipulating they would actually kick back to life because it's all nerves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, to no success, and then starting to think, well, geez, if I'm out in a packed playground, like, can I yell? Like, my voice is going to be sore at the end of the days, but it's actually been all right. And
yeah, I've never really seen you struggle at school. Yeah,
it's a weird thing. Like, and when I yell, it's like kids are like, whoa.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds like you're fucking pissed off. Like, even when you're not pissed off, it just sounds like you're mad.
Yeah,
it's fucking great.
Yeah, I don't really get mad that often, but maybe it's a good thing. They think, oh, Mr. Nichols is a bit of a fucking.
Oh, mate, I get it. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, Mr. Josh is cool, except when you piss him off, and then he's just not very cool.
Loses
then
it.
He's a bit of a dickhead.
And I guess I got pretty lucky, eh? Like, like when I was like, all right, next contract and footy, I'm going to structure around what can get me a job. I'll play. I still love footy. Like, the reason why I kept playing, man, I'm a footy head. Like, you could talk to me footy, like someone bumping me. Oh, hey, mate, you see the... Yes, I did see the game, and what do you think about the offside onside rule? And how about the six again? So, like, I just love footy, and I'll talk about it all day. And
Well, I've learned so much from talking. Like, I've always loved footy, but I've never had... Like, that's why I fucking love hanging out with you and Stainsy and Askew, because I love learning about it, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes I'll say, like, some shit, and then, like, they'll be like, what the fuck are you saying? But, like, it's... I like learning about the ins and outs of sport. Like that's what fascinates me so much about MMA. Like my mates are like, my mate Curtis is always like, dude, you love it. Why? Because he does kickboxing.
And I was like, you do love it. No, all the time. Sometimes you'd be like, you know, this guy is the BJJ champion 4 years running. I was like, no.
Yeah, legit. Like I just know. And like half it's from like, obviously the podcast that I listen to and that sort of stuff. But I just love the ins and outs. Like, I love... That's why, like, to be completely honest, they talk... Everyone's sort of having a go.
What's your thoughts on, like, the CBD oil that you're starting to use recovery? Like, do you think that'll become mainstream like, for league and soccer and, like...
I think it might. I mean, I think the CBD's got, obviously, a stereotype attached to it with, like, weed and obviously, like, THC.
Because, like, you got to understand, like, soccer game, A-League game, that's at 8 o'clock. Like, NRL game, that's at 7:50. Like... You're taking that much caffeine. You're not after the game and you're like, I'm not sleeping tonight.
Mate,
it's in your head as well. Like, you're running that. Oh, man, I threw that longboard, hit the deck, and I missed that inside shoulder tackle. Oh, and you just.
And you overthink.
And it's like, you need something. And that's why I don't think it's good that, like, if you're taking, like, Stilnox or, like,
Valium. Yeah, I think, you know, like, things like Finergan and stuff like that. Like, fuck that, man. Like, that is so, like. Can you OD on CBD? No.
Yeah.
Can you OD on Finergan? Fuck yeah, you can, man. So many people do.
Because, like, you speak to Stains, like, and sleep and recovery is that important
so
to an
athlete. So important, man. Like, 100%, man. And, you know, we were talking, I think it was in, when I was chatting to Ice, actually, he was saying, like, you know, when they go to sleep, like, after a game, like, and they're, when they're being interviewed straight after a game, you're getting them at the height, like their senses are so, like, of course they fuck up and say something dumb, man, or they swear. And then they go home and some of them, like I'm talking from the league that I play in for soccer. Like now I'm kind of on the back end and I play in like Division 2. Mm. And man, I finish my games, which mean fucking nothing realistically, but I'm jacked to like 2 in the morning. I could only imagine if you're playing like, you know, NRL or A-League or AFL or where you'd be at. Like, you wouldn't sleep till like 5. So having those things like CBD and stuff like that, like, I'm not too familiar with the research behind it, but I do, I've heard of so many people that use it for sleep because it just, it's got those calming sort of attributes associated with it.
100%.
And, but I think with those sort of things, there's always going to be people that associate it with like marijuana.
It's got that, that negative stigma.
Yeah, because, you know, and I think people need to sort of educate themselves on the fact that CBD doesn't get you high.
Yeah.
Nothing in CBD gets you high. Mm. Like, it relaxes you, probably deals with anxiety, but, you know, I don't know, like, are they allowed to use in NRL? Does that show up in a drug test?
I'm not too sure whether or not, so... It'd be definitely something because obviously clubs would be looking at him because they know how much like...
Oh, for sure, man.
And even if you rock up to training and you've had a bad sleep and you've got... Your numbers are going to be down. Like, 100%, even the gym,
man. And it's not even about like, oh, what did you do last night? Were you out? It's like, nah, I just couldn't sleep. Like, dude, I have some... Yeah. I have the worst trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
I like... Because I don't know. I just overthink all the times about everything. Like, I would just think about like, what happened during the day? What? Oh, remember that thing that happened last year? Like, fuck, what did I do? Mm. You know? So... I guess for me, like, I know a lot of UFC fighters use it, MMA athletes use it, and, you know, from what I can hear, like, it, like, people who are prone to having seizures take it, it eliminates it. So, I mean, I hate prescription meds.
Yeah.
Man. Any pain, because people get addicted to it.
Oh, man.
And, like,
I did my fracture my scapula at the start of last year, and, like, you know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, I needed them because but it's like, when you don't need them anymore, you still want them. It's
mate. I have like, you know, people, like I know people at like the local pub that'll sell like painkillers because they'll just be like, well, people want these guys will do it. And they'll buy this packet for like $50.
Yeah.
And like, of course they're going to want to make a quick buck.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, like that's why I think I asked you, last night when we were watching the Rabbits game, when I was saying
pain injections. And
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Whether that still happens. And I think we were talking to Stainsy too about his old man. Cause his old man played in like the rough fucking rough days and how they would just pretty much shoot you up and then let you go.
Yeah.
How does that work? Like, what is it? Cause it might be a stupid question, but you don't really see it on the screen, you know?
Well, I was pretty lucky that I was never had to, like, during a game get a shot. But, like, if you get a cortisone and stuff like that, it's, like, planned through the week. It's like, all right, you can play, but you might need to get an injection in the ribs or your ankle or whatever. And then it reduced the pain and you can get through it and stuff like that. So I've never had to have my mid-game, but it's all always planned. And, like, every doctor that I've had in footy has been pretty onto it.
Yeah, they'd have to be so switched on. Yeah. Like, I could imagine that would be such a high stress job.
Oh yeah.
Because I noticed last night, like we noticed, like Adokar copped a real early knock to the ribs, and then came out second half and looked like
scored that try.
Yeah, and he looked like he was fucking fine. Yeah. So you're like, what the fuck did they do to him? Like, did they just replace his fucking rib cage with machines or some shit?
It's crazy. Eh?
Yeah.
But they probably like moves on. Like, and then so I was. Like I said, I was like at the end of the thing and met with a few other clubs and I was just like, you know what? And then I spoke to South Logan and John Buchanan and he got me up here a few times and showed me to Marsden. And then I was speaking to Matt Hardigan, like just explaining what a great school and like it's a footy school. And I was like, I was really like dreading missing. All right. You go on a word.
Yeah, you got the best of both words, man.
But like that whole thing, like you rock into footy training, you got a coffee, banter with the mates, you're putting shit on each other. Like it's just jokes from the day. Yeah. You got to work hard for a bit. Preseason's fucked, whatever. But once you get in that season, it's like, you know what you're doing. Training will go for this amount of time.
Yeah.
You might do this much fitness and you got weights, bit of wrestle. You see your mates, there's banter, like you're doing what you love. And it was stressful for me. I was like, man, like, how is this going to go for me? Like, am I going to cope like with just not doing that and like actually having to rock up and teach? And I was like, oh my God. Like I said, I hadn't done it since 2014. My last prac was 2014. I was like,
it's a different world,
how am I going to go in this classroom with kids? Hardy was like, don't worry, Desi, you'll kill it. Mate, like, you're going to be sweet. He says, most of your classes will be footy. They'll love you. Like, you know what to do. Any dramas, like the staff's sweet. And then, I went on the PD with them down in Melbourne, like met the gang and it's like, this is sick. It's like, what a crew. Man.
It's like, I say, people ask me, you know, if ever this took off, would I quit?
Mm.
I don't think I would, man.
Yeah.
I love it too much.
Best of both worlds.
And everyone sort of, you get that like sort of stigma around being a PE teacher and everyone's like, oh, like, you know, you just go there and do the bare minimum. And it's like, that's the stereotype. And I play into that stereotype, but, and I think we all play into that stereotype, but I think the amount of work that we do like as sort of excellence teachers or just teachers in general, it's fucked, man. You give up so much of your time. Like, and it's, and, but the thing is when people say like, oh, like, is it worth it? Like giving up fucking oath, man. Yeah. Like there's a reason why we all get there at 7 a.m. Yeah. Like 7 a.m.
Because like if I see the commitment in the kids, I'm going to give them everything. Cause if they want, like, what can I give them? Like, can I give them extra hours, extra training? As long as it's not going to burn me out.
Yeah.
I'll put in, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I always had a thing, like, if you don't sacrifice for what you want becomes a sacrifice. That's why some priests are like, all right, I'm off the beers. So like later on, like, all right, I'm off the beers and I'll just have a glass of red. You know what I mean? So take things out so that you can earn it and stuff like that.
Yeah. But, I like the mentality of earning
kids
it.
Kids at our school, like, man, they are like, they love their footy, they love their soccer, battlers, man. They're full in, but like, they're all in.
Oh, yeah.
I can get emails like, what do I need to do better? Like, you know, sir, did you see this? What can you give me some exercises? Like, even during like the COVID period, I'm getting emails like, send me these drills and this. And I'm like, yep, no worries. Yeah. And I'm thinking like, it's just like, that's how much that means to them. And so it's like, so it's still be, it's like, all right, we're going to work. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, I haven't woken up this year. And then like, fuck. Gotta go to my job. I'm like,
I've never had that. Hey,
I'm like, let's
I've
go.
I've had it maybe once, and it was when I didn't have classes when I first started, and I was on a full super loan, and I
just, that's weird.
It sucked, man. I was doing internal relief for a while.
At Marsden, or
At Marsden. Like I loved it. It was fine, but the uncertainty of waking up every day, like, I don't know what's planned. Like, you know, when you come into class, you're like, sweet, I'm doing 1, 2, 3, 4 lessons. We're doing this, and this in the lessons. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you go in, you have a plan, you attack the plan, you leave, you feel good. Yeah. Whereas on that load for me, I woke up, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Fuck, man. This happens every Saturday. Literally just people. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah. And I didn't like the uncertainty of it. Like, I like coming in with a plan. Like, you know what I mean? And I think having that now is like, you wake up every day. It's like, not only that, you're like, I get to see my mates.
Yeah.
And I get to talk shit with my mates.
Yeah.
Get to go train like the kids who like they fucking love it.
Yeah.
Like, and they're so passionate. And then, you know, you'll have a breakthrough in class where a kid will understand a concept that who's like, you know, like I teach half of your young boys and seeing them like work hard on academics, but me being able to support them in academics whilst also being a coach is so fucking sick, man.
Yeah.
It's the best job.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, super like lucky, like, I'm in the engine room. Shout out to the engine room, boys. like, we got, like, and I go to school with Stainsy. So if I'm in, like, he picks me up and I'm like, we're just talking the whole time, talking footy, talking school. Like, and you know, Stainsy, he's pretty smart.
Mate, he's.
So I'm like, ask him questions. He's like, no, this is how you do
he's
it.
He's a mad genius.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, what happens if he's like, and this is what you do here. And I'm like, yep.
Yeah. Dude.
Like, he's pretty much like got, like, he's been super helpful. Then we got Chet's, like, the veteran, man. Like, what doesn't he know? Where hasn't he been? Like, so, and then Mitch Yasky, you know, we can just put shit on him.
Burn his lawn.
So, like, that's what I've been like. Imagine if I was just started a school in Sydney and like, I didn't know anyone else that, and like, what didn't offer me support on like curriculum and help or.
You couldn't coach footy. Like, that'd be shit, man.
So like, I've been super lucky, like in terms of that way, like. Yeah, I think everyone in our staff room is approachable. Like, if you got problems,
the school is just overall for us, especially like it's and they, the opportunities we obviously get with coaching PDs and stuff like that, and then you learn from each other. Like, man, obviously Stainsy and I completely different codes, but the amount of like strength and conditioning knowledge I've learned from him is fucked. Like, it's beyond. Like,
oh man, I think Stainsy's going places. If he doesn't keep teaching, man, he's going straight
against. Well, that's why I want him to like boost, like do heaps of content, make the content out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he's so knowledgeable in it, and like, you know, I always joke, like similar how I joke with you about like coming on the pod, but I want him to come on too, and like not talk about general shit, like actually talk about strength and conditioning, because I think it's real valuable for.
Oh man,
like you think about it, man. How many coaches are out there?
Yeah.
Fucking thousands. Yeah. Man. And any sort of information is valuable. Mm. Whether it's like your story, talking about where you've come from, your experience, whether it's, you know, like Danny talking about going from playing in England to playing on the verge of A-League to coaching now. Yeah. Like, I just feel like every one of our sort of everyone that we've got is has had such an awesome past in the sport that they're in.
Yeah.
And like whether you're whatever sport it is, like it's so cool to bounce off each other. And yeah. I think we're super lucky for
that. Yeah, it's a crazy good
and
network.
Even like our cross sort of you know, program competitions, like you and me doing the bomb competition, and then we're gonna do some
pedals. That was a dark day for me.
That
by
was
the
a
way.
Very dark day for you. But you underestimated the fuck out of my catching ability, boy.
Yeah, oh, I sound. Well, I got to give it to you. Very talented.
Well, you know, mate, I can pull it out. I just look like
I'm gonna burn that footage. By the way,
oh fuck, oath.
That's gotta be gone.
No, you know what? I would burn. I'd burn the fact that you missed two. The disappointing thing for me was when you didn't hit the grid twice.
Yeah, well, we spoke about the balls that I was using weren't the PSI in
there. Yeah.
So So I've been really loving it at Marsden, and like, and even with like teaching stuff like Ash. How good's Ash? Like, you know what I mean, with his. Yeah. His stuff, and like even the other day, like the year 9 stuff, I was like Blake, come here, give me a bit of a hand here, like, tell me what to do. He's like, oh yep, da 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 da.
Yeah,
so I haven't like touched wood, I haven't had a bad class yet, but
you know,
I'm not gonna lie, I've got 2 footy classes right now.
So good, man. So you know, you haven't actually finished up playing for good, have you? So you've signed a deal with
that's our slogan this year, and obviously it was going to be our first year in a while, sort of balancing the two with teaching and playing and stuff like that. And, you know, one game in, I was going to skipper him this year, and sort of just, we lost that game.
Fuck.
Yeah. Fuck. Like next year, I want to play. I love footy, but I'm really enjoying coaching. So just got to sort of weigh up what I want to do there.
Yeah.
Like I know I could still play at that level, you know, comfortably and stuff like that. But yeah, really enjoying coaching. But like the Q Comp's a good comp. Like each team has their fans, and like they love the club and good people involved at South. I get along well with JB, so we have a good relationship. So not too sure what next season, what I'm going to do next season, but just sort of spend the time now that I'm just focusing on school, like teaching, you know what I mean, to really nail that. And
it's a tough sort of situation when you've still got the desire to play, but you also have the desire to coach. See, I feel like even for me, just even though I'm playing like for fun, my desire to play is still so high, and it's hard to do both. So like obviously, you know, you'll transition eventually to go, okay, I'm playing less, coaching more, but I guess we're kind of at the same point where it's like I love coaching, but I want to focus on me getting better as well. Not saying that I'm going to fucking play whatever, but you want to be the best that you can be in the league that you're in.
And so we played Stainsy's team on Friday in like a post sort of game.
In the morning.
And like we got the IT kids to come down and film, and like,
that's sick.
I got that footage, and like straight away I was like, I want to cut this footage up, and like, I want to show the boys like the plays that we've put in.
Yeah.
They work.
And you get excited for Monday for that.
I'm like, man, the boys are going to love this. Like, we're showing, like, cutting up, this is working. Or, like, even, like, just fixing the little things, like, in defense, like, they're not getting short feet into contact, or, you know, things that they're doing, like, the lines they're running. And I was just, like, super pumped. I was like, and that's how, like, supportive staff is.
Yeah, man.
I sent an email to Groudon. I was like, hey, mate, you reckon we could get the film? He goes, leave it to me. Got an email. And then Nicole was like, 2 kids will be coming down. One's going to film from this side. I was like, man.
Yeah.
That's super awesome.
It's so good. It's so good, man.
Footage might not be good for Stainsy, but...
Did you beat him?
Well, it wasn't really a game.
Oh, yeah, just training.
Yeah, it was a bit of a clinic, but... those year 10 boys might be in for some tough sessions this week.
Oh, no.
But no, it was good. So those kids are sort of the same age. So it's good if we can start just training them more against each other. And like, that's how you learn in that game stuff. It's good for do all these skills, but then if you can't recreate those skills in high pressure situations, what good are they? You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. And that's the same for every sport, man. There's so many players that look great on the training pitch. They get on the field and they get cold feet, man. Like in every sport.
Even like students that look bad, like when we went to Melbourne, like they're showing me the videos of Poey and the Francis. They're like, oh, Desi, man, this is your shoe next year.
It is.
And he's on camera swearing. He's like, hey, they fick you, dickhead.
Fucking grunk.
Yeah. I'm like, how am I going to deal with this kid? Then I get in the class and he's like up the front. He's like,
he's a fucking
hey,
weapon,
sir,
man.
How are you? Answering questions, like lovely student. I'm like, that sometimes like looks can be like, I thought, look at his Instagram. It's like, Oh, Jesus.
But the thing that he's a smart kid, man. He knows, like, when I chat to him about, because we have
his Instagram and stuff like that.
We have good chats about social media and what he wants to do with it and all that sort of jazz. And like he knows he can differentiate. It's amazing to see from such a young age that he can differentiate, hey, no, this is my character online.
Yeah.
But this is me in real life. Like, yeah. I'm not always, like, he plays into it a lot. And I asked him, I was like, you know, oh, why do you do this? He goes, oh, like, this will get me good likes, or this will get me, like, good this. And I'm like, for a 12-year-old kid to identify that, that's so fucking good, man. Like, as someone who is, you know, around the world of, like, social media promotion and creating a following, the kid's doing good things, man. Oh, bro. Like,
I had to tell him that he's up on that Cole Rock sponsorship, but...
Oh, bro.
Can't have him having too much of that. Need him leading my forwards, you know? Yeah.
But, nah, man, it's so good that... And that's the best thing. Like, I think I don't really like talking about work all that much on the podcast, but at the same time, too, there's a reason why we enjoy talking about it because we love it. It's like I... You could never take this, like, this job. The job means so much. Like, it honestly does. And it's such a visual thing to see them learning or understanding a new skill. Yeah. And it's cool that you sort of felt that immediately.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that sometimes takes a while to see, but like, you've got in and you've seen it like straight away, like the benefits to it, which is so sick.
Have you thought about making clothes for the potty and stuff like that? Like, what's the next step? I saw your mate did you a sort of,
Kind of did the plastic glove one. Yeah, like that was really cool.
What's the next steps for you? Like, in terms of like, what do you want to do? Like, do you want to build more into your coaching? Yeah. I know, like, I reckon you'll be super good for those youngsters at school.
Yeah, man. Well, I definitely want to coach, obviously, more.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, and I always do put my hand up when I can, like, to help out. And obviously, I do all the strength and conditioning stuff, which is sick. But I definitely want to like coach more, but it's like, I'm definitely one of those people that I've got my finger in so many pies
because
I love being busy and I love doing new shit. Like, you know, and even down to
that reminded me of something we were saying last night, but I won't say it on here.
Don't do that. But yeah, that's one of those things. Yeah, definitely.
Word gets around and, you know, everyone's.
Yeah, now and that's a new challenge for me as well. But in terms of this, man, like this is fun for me. Like, people ask me, like, when do you want to make money? And I, like, I know it sounds real cliche and like, humble, but I don't care. Like, this is so sick. Like, I look at this, man, like, you know, for the last hour we've been chatting.
Yeah.
I've learned so much about you that I didn't know. And we've been mates for like, you know, half a year.
Yeah.
Like, these things are like priceless, and I'm like learning things, and even down to like, it's my platform. I can put Pokemon cards and interview people and fucking talk to myself. And so where it goes, I don't really know, but I just, at this moment, I'm getting paid in positive feedback.
Yeah.
So like, people have said to me like, yeah, I was having a shit day, and then I listened to you chat and you had a shit day too. And it made me feel like I'm not alone. And bro, that's priceless to me. You can't put, but
can you get your hands on any black market Pokemon cards?
Fuck, probably, maybe. They're probably fake though.
Yeah,
because that's what I want. I wanted to get. I've asked you this before. Is there any?
I don't think so.
Fuck, I would.
They should make the oldest debutante card.
I'm gonna fucking look for it. Yeah. Surely, if Ice or Normie or someone gets it, they'll send it to you.
Yeah, just Photoshop me on that balcony and
just we can make a card.
300 days off the piss, chiseled abs. What's up, baby?
Yeah, but man, it's. I just think this is fun. It's the best fun, and it's. Like, I got the thing with the Caxton going on, which is sick. And
that's super cool coming, eh?
But it's just patience, man. Yeah. I look at it like look at bro, you, man. This might not get big until I'm 30, but if it does, that's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if it doesn't, life's still good, man. I still get to do this shit.
When some things, when they take longer, they feel better, man. I remember getting told and then sitting in my car. It's weird. I was listening to Dreams by Gabrielle, and it's actually a love song, but it's Dreams can't... doesn't sound good in my voice. Dreams can't come true. And I was just crying. I was like...
Really?
Yeah, I was like, dreams can come true. Like, phone my mom, my dad, like... And like, listening to this song, which is like, has nothing to do with, like, actually, I don't think...
Yeah,
I,
and I but was it's just the timing.
And just those emotions, and like, I was just... Like, I put in so many hours.
Yeah, man.
And like...
To finally get recognized, I guess, too.
That's like, sometimes things like that, like, if you put in your heart and your soul and like, you get rewarded, just Yeah. Just feels and so I think good.
That's an important thing to, because, you know, any player of a professional sport, whether it's rugby league, union, football, whatever, like AFL, when people debut, and like it means so much to them. And that's why I really think, like, on debut, like, you can't really be critical of someone's performance.
Yeah.
Like, it's because it's still just like a fairy tale. That's in a way. True, like, you see people have unreal debuts. You see people who have kind of average debuts. Yeah. But I think to critique anyone on debuts, it's probably the worst time to hit someone. You know what I mean? Like, because for those moments where, you know, you go from being nervous to sitting in your car fucking crying and calling your friends and family. Yeah. And the hard thing, you know, for, I guess, professional athletes that a lot of people don't see is you're in a shit spot because you're praying for injuries, but you don't want your mates to get injured. You know what I mean? Like, that sucks.
My missus knows, like, she would see me come home grumpy, like, and I've just, like, for example, kicked the ball out in the full at training. Or drop the ball and, like, she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, fucking train shit. Or, like, oh, you play a game and, like, it's just reserve grade. But you know that you haven't performed this level. The coach, it's, like, bad. Like, it's just a role. Like, that's why, like, this year was, like, well, same again, that nothing to lose. Like, where, as before, when I was full-time, it's, like, you got everything to lose, you know what I mean? Throw a bad pass of training, miss a tackle. It's, like, bump down the order. And, like you said, like, you become so close to all your mates and like, you don't want them to get injured. No. It's just like, well, then how can I get my chance? It's like, for me, I'll get, no one got injured. It was around Origin time. So it was like,
yeah, you're just waiting for that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, come on, Origin.
I guess in a way, that's probably the best thing for you, because you can always celebrate the fact that you get a go and your mate gets a gig. So it's almost like a double whip. Whereas if you're, you know, it's in a way like you're excited when you debut, but you're like, you're pumped. And then, you know, to the right of you, your mate's bawling his eyes out because he's just done an ACL. Like,
that's right. Yeah.
It's fucking bittersweet.
I guess now, like, it's like next goals for me. It's like, I've got to do, like, it's like teaching goals. Or what's after coaching, like recruitment stuff. Like that's the space I want to move into, like high coaching. Yeah. I want to coach in the NRL one day, but whether I'm good enough on yet, I don't know. But I'm going to try and get... Process, like, I'm going to try and learn. Like, we've got other great coaches at school. Yeah. Like, Hardigan, like, you know how good he is, what he does, you know what I mean? So if I can learn as much as I can off them, take what I've learned from all the coaches that I've had, like, I'd love to coach NRL one day. Or, like, we were talking yesterday about recruitment, like, scouting. Like,
yeah.
But we love massive sports heads. Like, imagine just going around, like, watching games.
Paid to go watch games and, like, watch games, take names, talk to people. Fuck, man, talk to people about the sport. Yeah. Like, fuck, that would be...
Pros, like, and cons about kids. Like, man, yeah, that's... It's unreal, that's super cool, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, bro, we've been going for 1 hour and 5 minutes. Fucking... How's that? You did it.
Good banter, bros.
Good banter.
The debut.
The debut, the man. You had your warm-up interview on bloody
Would I be the oldest on the Herman?
Holy shit. You, just trying to think. You would be the oldest debutant on the Herman as well.
Take that, baby. What number podcast is this?
59, boy. 59, not 60. So I was going to wait for 69, but...
Oh. My old email was Daz the Man 59, because 69 was taken when I was a youngster.
So there's another Daz rolling around with 69. So
number 216 at the Dragons and number 59 at the Hermit.
Fuck yeah, baby. How good,
that's a couple of tats coming.
Yeah, man. Hey, like, are you with your social media? I saw are you going to merge that into a bit of a coaching account? Like,
I'm coaching two kids now. So when the footy stopped, I was like, all right, what can I, like, I was going from Monday, Wednesday, Friday, straight after school to training and home at 8:30. Yeah. So I was like, had heaps more time. So I was like, all right, man. I got a message on Facebook and it was like, mate, you know, I see this stop now. You want to do some extra kicking and some skills coaching. And I love it.
Why not?
Yeah, so... Yeah, if you want, message me.
What's your Instagram handle?
Non-Dairy Desmond. Non-Dairy. So that was... that was a funny one. My good mate... vegan Mitch, Mitch Allgood, is one of the proudest vegans going.
Shout out,
Mitch Allgood. Shout out, and all the vegans. But don't get him started; he'll talk your ear off for hours.
Is that one of those ones?
So what? We became like best mates at the Dragons, and he was like, "Try this, Desi, try that," and like I'd come back a bit pudgy to preseason. I was like, "Whoa, I've cut out beer before. How about I cut out dairy? Get rid of the milk, the cheese and that sort of stuff." The nutritionist there didn't like it. She's like, "How are you going to get your extra protein from this?" And Mitch is like, "Bro, don't listen to her,
fuck
bro."
That girl.
She's like, "You with me now." I was like,
all right.
So that, and then we were just joking around one day And I sent him a message. I go, check out the Insta handle. Oh, it was like, Non-Dairy Desmond. He was like, yeah, love it.
Fuck, that's good.
So, oh, Non-Dairy Desmond, that's me.
Non-Dairy Desmond.
Yeah.
That's Des with a D-E-Z. I know that because I went D-E-S and it didn't work, mate.
That does not fly.
Ah, yeah. Oh, dude. No, thanks so much for coming on, man. I you told me a story about sort of like your lead up to when you're at Marsden at a PD at the start of the year, and I was just like, holy fuck, like, this dude's got a story. So I'm just glad you actually we had some time so you could do it, man. It's been sick.
Thanks, bros.
Fuck yeah. Alrighty, guys, that's the Inner City Hermit podcast. You know what it is. Like, subscribe, do your thing, go follow me on Instagram at Inner City Hermit, and just be nice to each other. It's a fucking weird time at the moment, man. So just be kind to one another, have a beer with your mate.
Cheers, mate.
And yeah, bro, I'll see you on Monday.
Beautiful.
Yeah.